The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. With a smile. Okay, so we thank God for the week of praise. We thank God for all He's doing with us and through us and on our behalf. This morning, we are looking at...
What are you pressing into?
So let's humble our hearts. As we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God bless you.
Today, we are actually landing and we are looking at what are you pressing into? What are you pressing into? So as we press into this fasting period, the fast is not just something we complete. The fast is something that God uses to complete something in us. The fast is not just what we complete. Many times, if you are not careful, particularly if you are accustomed to fasting, you just want to complete it. And at this time, we need to realize that the fast is not just what we complete. It's something that God uses to complete something in us. That's why you notice that some people, I pray you, that from one fasting season to another, they are actually not the same. They have actually gained ground spiritually. They have actually become more authoritative in the things of the Spirit. They have actually become more powerful. They have actually become more wealthy. Praise the name of the Lord. Today, the pattern we are following is press, purge, power. That's our progression today. Press, purge, then power. We need to press beyond routine. We need to press beyond routine. Then we need to purge what God reveals. We need to purge what God reveals. And then power flows from consecration. Power follows consecration. Again, if you've not started fasting, you can start today. Praise the name of the Lord. And sometimes we start with excitement for those that have started. And somewhere around this time, you know, the fast can become routine. And like I said, if you are accustomed to fasting, you know how to avoid food. You know how to manage your hunger. You know how to survive the schedule. You see, but the question is not just, are you fasting? The question is, what are you pressing into? Because if you are fasting without pressing into God, into what God has for you, you can be disillusioned. You can begin to say, well, why am I even doing this? So, those kind of attitude and behaviors happen because we are not pressing into anything. We are not pressing into anything. And we are tempted to begin to count days. We are tempted to begin to count days that are remaining. And so what God is saying to you and I is that don't just count the days of the fast. Make the days count. Make the days count. And we do that by following the progression. Press. Everybody say press. Urge, everyone say purge. Power, everyone say power. So what God is saying to you and I today is that fasting without pursuit is just hunger strike. It's just hunger strike. That's why some of us are feeling, I'm just on a hunger strike. You know? It's just hunger strike. Fasting without pursuit. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. Over of why the deer pants for the water brook. The deer pants for the water brook. Pants means thirsty, longing. Obviously, for the obvious reasons, to quench his thirst. So the question is, are you thirsting for God? Are you thirsting for the things of God? There things in God that are desirable to you. Then, of course, the second thing that we're told is that when the deer does not just drink water in the water brooks, the deer dives into it and rolls in the water. So it refreshes its whole being, number two. And number three, its predators lose the scent for the deer. So what has been chasing the deer? Once the deer enters the water, the thing cannot find the scent of the deer anymore. There are forces chasing some people. But when we get into the presence of God, what happens? They lose the scent. They can't find us anymore. We that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. The predators lose this, our saints. They can't find us. They can't find our files. Some people's files in the spirit realm are in the public domain. Anyone that has access to the spirit realm can access their files. But some of our files are in what they call the DMZ, a demilitarized zone, private domain. I mean, I've had encounters with, you know, I can't remember, clearly made my wife remember, but, you know, so someone had said to me, some prophetic guy, we can't access anything about you. I laughed. I said, you can't access it because it's not in the public domain. Praise the name of the Lord. When we go into his presence, the enemies, they are demonic spirits that are familiar spirits, are interested in your case. In people's cases, in fact, what the enemy wants us to believe is that they don't exist, so that we are now unmindful of his devices. But Paul is saying, I am not unmindful. of the device of the enemy. We are not enemy focused, but we are not ignorant of his works. When we get to the water brooks, boom, he loses our scent. They can't find us. The things that have plagued our fathers can't find us. The things that have plagued our mothers can't find us. The things that have plagued our ancestors, they just can't find us. What are you thirsty for? Because fasting without pursuit is just hunger strike. It's just hunger strike. Or at best, a weight loss program. You know, it's pathetic if all the fasting period is about, oh, so I can fit back into some jeans or some clothes. You will have lost many things. Those are fringe benefits. There's a fringe benefit. A fringe benefit. They can't be the purpose. So the goal is not to empty your stomach. The goal is not an empty stomach. The goal is a filled spirit, is a strengthened spirit. The goal is not a slim body, a well-shaped body. The goal is a strengthened spirit man. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the goal. And we have asked from part one of the series, what are you proving? We asked, is the burden yours? We asked, what are you building? Then we asked, what are you fighting for? And last week we asked, what are you producing? And today, I believe God is asking us, what are you pressing into? Because spiritual fruit does not come from casual hunger. It comes from a relentless pursuit, from what some people call holy pursuit, from prayer, from praise, from vigils, from relentless pursuit. And you see that the values are just enormous. You feel your thirst. You refresh your whole body. You're fresh, looking young, looking soft. You have slim and trim, if that's an objective. Your enemy loses your saints. Then you have more of God. It's so amazing, isn't it? The privilege that we have. So please ask someone, what are you pressing into? So the first, number one, is to press. Don't coast through consecration. Don't coast through this season. Place pursuit over routine. Don't just make it routine. Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14, Paul saying, Philippians 3, 12 to 14, says, I press on, forgetting the things that are behind and straining. Everyone say straining. Straining towards what's ahead. You have to strain. If it doesn't put pressure on you, it will not get value out of you. We all know that. We went to school. You got a degree. I hope it put pressure on you. It did. Many of us here are parents. We have children. To pop one out. I know it, I hope it put pressure on you. I hope. Many of us are parents. You know, those of us are men. You have to take care of your family. I hope it puts pressure on you. It does. You have to strain. And as you press, as you strain, you will see the travail of your souls and you will be glad in the name of Jesus. You will not strain in vain. You will not press in vain. You will not feel the pressure in vain. Paul is not casual. He says, I press, I reach, I strain, I pursue. This is not passive spirituality. This is not convenience Christianity. Someone that has been a Christian for a long time, you know, I mean, joined us, and then he said that, wow, it's as if I am just getting saved. Because it's as if I'm just getting refreshed in God. This is not, I'll seek God when I have time. That is the delusion of particularly the Western world, is that it sells comfort to us that we, and sells the fact that you seek God when it's convenient. And a lot of people have fallen into that trap. If it's not convenient, God is out of the picture. But Paul is saying, I press on. I press on. I press on. As we progress in the fast, the temptation is to shift from hunger to habit. It's to shift from hunger to habit. It's just, it's to make it habitual. It's to make it, I just used to it. And we stop asking, what is God saying? We must not stop asking. What is God saying? You must always wake up at his door. What is God saying? That quest in your heart, what is God saying, must not diminish. We must consistently seek him. We must not say, the question is not, what day are we on? We are on day 18. Wow, we are almost done. Of course, that's encouraging. But that should not be all that is consuming your mind. If you know, if you are going to break your fast at 6, for instance, this is a day fast, for instance, you know, and all you are looking at is the clock. It appears the clock never moves. I look at the clock, it's just standing there. It must be faulty. No, it's not. Because fasting is not about surviving the calendar. It's not about surviving the time. It's about seeking God's face. It's about seeking God's direction. It's about plunging into God himself, seeking him. So fasting is not a countdown. It's actually a call up. It's something about the military, when you get your call-up letter, it means it's time to go. It's time to go. Fasting is not a countdown. It's not a countdown. And many times, you know, as we progress in the fast, as we have, many times we begin to switch to that countdown mode. How many more days? And I believe God wants us to change that mindset and begin to think of it in the light of it being a call-up experience. John would say in Revelations that I was there and I heard a voice saying to me, come up. Yes, there are things in God that is only by invitation. It's only by invitation, but guess what? You have to be available to hear the call. You have to be attentive to hear the invitation. I believe that many people are missing invitations. We are actually missing invitations, but I'm praying that as you set our heart aside to seek God, we will hear our own invitations. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Because routine can actually keep you compliant. Routine can keep you compliant. Oh, I fasted. I went through it. Oh, I did that. You know? But pursuit makes you hungry. Pursuit keeps you hungry. So don't just be compliant. This is like another level, basically, because some people are just, they're not even compliant. So those are not compliant. I don't know. You need to be compliant first. You need to start fasting. But it's not about compliance. It's about pursuit. You must be able to shut the world out and just pursue God and just seek Him. And just seek God. God is going to make you prosperous in the name of Jesus. God is going to make you financially prosperous in the name of Jesus. But you see, you need to realize that I've shared it before, and someone was like, I'm still struggling with what you said. I said, what? You said you can't remember praying for money. I can't remember ever praying for money. That I'll go to God and say, God, I need money. I need money to do that. I can't remember. Praise God. I'm not saying praying for money is wrong. I'm just saying that the pursuit of God, the truth is that if you find God, you will discover that in His presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are what? There are pleasures forevermore. And that includes wealth. There's a reason He's saying the priority of your pursuit must be His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things. Now, God doesn't say seek only the kingdom. He says seek first the kingdom. So you can seek abundance, of course. But the priority of the kingdom is such that God will not place or play a second fiddle in your life. God refuses to play second fiddle in your life. That's the priority of the kingdom. God must be one, must be number one. That's the difference between us and the world. God must be what? Must be number one. It must be the essence of our pursuit. And that's what makes what we are doing not just religion. Someone said to me, years ago, something like, if I give my life to Jesus, won't it be boring? I'm like, dude, the greatest adventure you can have in your life is to follow Jesus. That's the... If you are religious, it will be boring. Of course, it will be so boring to bore you out of your socks. But if you follow God, it's like roller coaster. It's like roller coaster. It is from one adventure to another adventure to another adventure. It's unbelievable. And that is it. Because consecration without pursuit is just religion. Consecration without pursuit becomes religion. Religious discipline without spiritual depth. It's religious discipline without spiritual depth. Do you know that a runner can be on track and not be pressing? Have you seen, one of the races I like to watch, of course, the elite athletes, definitely I like to watch those ones, but I also like to watch children run. There was one guy that when they said go, he just started going. He passed the finishing line. He was still going. They were calling him. Let's say his name was John. They said, John. No, not John. They said, John. He was looking back. He said, no. He was still running. I know some of us are like that, But there was this other guy who was just taking his time. It was too funny. He couldn't be bothered about the guys running, you know. And he refused to end his race. The parents were like, okay, the race is over. No. He refused to run. He was still continuing his race, you know. So a runner can be on track and not be pressing. They can jog the lane. They can finish the lap and still never push. But Paul says, I press towards the mark. I press. Now, imagine it's Olympics. Then your country is on the line, line up. And the gun goes. And your runner is just jogging and waving at the crowd. How would you feel? Oh, your soccer team. Let's assume your country is in the World Cup. Let's just assume. And the opening match, they are just, you know, so happy to be there. They're not pressing. They're not straining. They're not making the effort. We will not be impressed. So Paul is saying, I press towards a mark. It means I am intentional. It means I strain. It means I focus. It means I am dissatisfied with where I am. So, for the remaining days of the fast, don't just ask, what am I abstaining from? Am I abstaining from social media? Am I abstaining from content in addition to food? Those are basic. Don't just ask that. Ask, what am I pursuing? These remaining days, what am I pursuing? What am I chasing after? What do I want to see? What am I asking God to form in me? What am I giving attention to? What am I giving more focus to? What hunger is God restoring in my life? Ask this question. The remaining days that we have left, it's not, oh, I'm abstaining from this food. Oh, when the fast is over, oh, I'm going to eat this food. Oh, ask, what am I pursuing? You know, because when you press into God, when you actually press into God, God starts revealing what must go. You know, God starts revealing what must go. And that brings us to the second thing. The first thing is what? Press. The second thing is what? Purge. Let the fast finish something in you. Let this fast finish something in you. What is it that God wants to finish in you? What work does God want to do? One of the things that definitely happens is so sometimes, see, when you meet people that know God, some things will fall off from their life. They're not perfect. But guess what? The things that was attaching to them last year, when you see them this year, that thing is falling off. You know why? Because they are pushing into God. They are pushing into God. Isaiah 58 verse 6 says to us that is this not the fast that I have chosen, says the Lord, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Everybody say every yoke. God says, this is the fast that I want. So we see that biblical fasting is not just about what leaves my plate. It's about what leaves my life. Biblical fasting is not just about what leaves my plate. It's about what leaves my life. What leaves my life? And this is an aspect that many times we don't pay attention to. God says fasting should lose the chains. If you put up that scripture again, should lose the chains. Fasting should break yokes. Fasting should undo oppression. Fasting should set captives free. You know what that means? That means that fasting is not only about abstinence. It's about deliverance. And deliverance starting from me. Praise the name of the Lord. Starting from me. And then God walking through me to deliver other people. Fasting is not only about abstinence. It's about deliverance. You know, if you go through a season of fasting like we are going through, and the things that have held you bound, when the fasting is over, are still effectively holding you bound, something is wrong. Something is wrong. God says, this is the fast that I want. And many times when we read that scripture, I've read it for years, I always think about people, other people, poor, the people that, you know, and all that. But God says, no, you. I want the deliverance to start with you. The purge from within, Femi. The purge has to start from within. Sometimes the fast exposes things in you that you didn't know were an issue in you until you began to fast. The fast will expose things in you. There will be some things that will be revealed, that will be exposed, even in your family. There are people doing things around you that they think they are hiding. When you're fasting, God will expose them. It happens. God just exposes them. Boom, boom, boom. But guess what? Guess what? Even in you, there are things that are hiding that God wants to expose. I mean, was it last week I was sharing about someone that was projecting witchcraft on me? Was it last week? You know? And as far as I knew, suffered not a witch to live. You know, as far as I knew. So when the Holy Spirit told me, because I had this pain, it wasn't going, you know. So I stopped to ask the Lord, what is this? And he said to me, she. And I looked at her and I saw her. And he said, she's projecting witchcraft on you. That's the source of the pain. So when he told me that, I was like, okay. I'll handle it, you know. Because some things I forgot to handle, some things are for us to handle. That's how I handle it. And he restrained me. He said that you will not do that to my daughter. Your daughter. Because my theology has taught me that anyone that is that's operating in witchcraft is the daughter of the devil. But God says she was her daughter. I mean, that's the best of my theology. You know, immediately. So there are Christians that are operating in witchcraft effectively, but they are Christians. That is why, you know, my grandmother would tell us, don't let any witch use you as the testimony. You know, when God will now love them and save them, they will now say, oh, praise God. You know that lady we used to suck our blood? No. It will not be your own blood. In the name of Jesus. So, and I told you what God told me to do, and it was resolved. But he juggled my theology. Remember, someone I know that we were fasting like this, they were having a service, and then the assistant president of the fellowship, who was a lady, started manifesting. She was crawling like a reptile. I'm making reptile sound. And then you know, it became deliverance session, and then demons were cast. It was a lot of, you know, work. By the time we were done, so this my friend, elderly man, my friend was saying to me that he was asking God, this woman is baptized in the Holy Spirit. This lady, I've seen her lead people to Christ. I've seen her minister baptism of the Holy Spirit to other. How can she be possessed? How can she have? You know what God said to her? To him. God said to him, so is it me that should leave? he said, God said, so she asked demonic issue. So I'm the one to leave for them. No, I won't leave for them. She's my daughter. Huh. So the fact that you are a child of God does not mean that there are not things that need to be purged. Yeah, I'm remembering some things, you know. We're having some worker session, and then we made a call by revelation, and then one lady, you know, longest thought of it is that she said that she had a third eye that she uses to see the inside pregnant woman, distort things. This lady, if you hear her speaking tongues, saved. Then I made a call for them to come lay it down. So she came, she's crying. She laid it down. And then God removed the eye. And then, you know, she had some encounters, you know, and all that stuff. But one thing about those kind of people, because one of the things she said to me was that she was enjoying that power, that extra thing she has that other people did not have. I said, you are limiting your life because what the Holy Ghost wants to release in your life is more than one small eye that you are using to do small operations. God wants to give you kingdoms and make you have dominion. Praise the name of the Lord. God wants to purge you. And one thing that fasting does, it exposes hidden things. And it demands for you to surrender it. And it's in the surrendering that is the deliverance. It exposes irritability. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I had to deal with that a lot. Even I think I'm done with being irritable, then we begin to fast, and I say, Femi, you're still very irritable. You know, I mean, we play soccer, and I'm shouting at people. I'm like, Femi, why are you shouting at people? and I say, why are you so irritable? And I'm on a journey. God is helping me. One of the days that, you know, I was really frustrated, and I sat down, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I report things to God, my day, everything. So I said to God, can't you see how they are playing rubbish? You know? I was saying, why can't you see how they are playing rubbish? I was so frustrated. Some of us, soccer is very sacrosanct when we are involved. It's very precious. You know, I know some ladies can relate. You know what he said to me? He said, someone cannot give what they don't have. This guy is a solid defender. He finds himself in front and he balloons the ball in the sky and you are upset. His gift is to stop balls. And he does it. Does he not do effectively? I said, it's very good. I said, so why are you angry that he missed a goal? I was like, that's so stupid, Femi. Why would you be angry that he missed a goal? People can't, you expect someone to have vision. He doesn't have it. So why are you upset that he's not giving what he doesn't have? So I said, so the problem is not the person, The problem is what? It's me. The problem is me. So when we fast, you know what it does? It's like dregs. Everything begins to come out. I say, hey, see yourself, see yourself, see yourself. Praise the name of the Lord. Impatience. Fasting exposes it. It exposes cravings. It exposes it. Hidden dependence. There are things that we are dependent upon. It's hidden. We are depending on it. Hidden dependence. Fasting exposes it. So people are so dependent on their phone. Do you know that? It's like their dopamine. It's like their cocaine. They must scroll. I must scroll something. Ah, that's how I relax. It's an addiction. Fasting, you can break it by fasting. God says, I want you to break it. This is the fast that I appoint. He says. Sometimes it's an emotional comfort zone. And it's a combination with that, with dependence. Sometimes, you know, food is the comfort. And you're not fasting. And you're like, where's my comfort? And sometimes it's spiritual dullness. You know, the fasting just exposes how spiritually dull we have become. It exposes it. Now, when God exposes it, it's not to judge you or to condemn you or to say, it's for you to break out of it. Praise the name of the Lord. And sometimes it's unresolved offense. Unresolved offense that pops up in your heart. You're like, this guy did me something. This woman. Purge it. Purge it. Purge it. Purge it. And sometimes it's a secret compromise. Nobody sees you. You go online. They see where you go. You are going. Heaven is there watching you. So when these things surface, don't excuse them. Bring them to the altar and purge them. And purge them. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that what God reveals during the fast, He wants to heal. He wants to heal. What is revealed needs to be healed. God wants to heal. God is not revealing it to put you down. He wants to heal. Fasting exposes what comfort conceals. Fasting will expose it. And then God wants to heal it. You're like, but Pastor, it can be embarrassing. Yes, it can be. God doesn't expose to embarrass. He exposes to deliver. Do I get an amen? God doesn't expose to embarrass. He exposes to deliver, but He exposes. He exposes. You know? Because the things that are hidden can only, the strength of the enemy is darkness. Is what is not exposed. Praise the name of the Lord. So this is what the fast does. The anger was already there. The fast was just bringing it out. It exposes it. It exposes it. So we need to ask, Lord, what is this revealing? What is this revealing? And for the purge, you know, we're going to have a practical drill, you know, for this purge aspect. And here's it. This week, write down three things the fast has exposed. Three things that has been exposed during this fast so far. Then pay attention to the things that will still be exposed and write them down. One appetite that has been exposed. One attitude that has been exposed. Your eyes can still roll. An attachment. Then pray over each one. You know, pray about what is it? Then, Lord, I don't just want to manage this. I want to break it. The challenge with us is that many times we see these things as our pet. You know, our pet. Oh, Pastor, I just need to manage my anger. Has it occurred to you that God wants to break that anger? Has it occurred to you? No, Pastor, I'm just a selfish person. Has it occurred to you that God wants to break that selfishness? So God doesn't just want us to press, and he doesn't just want us to purge, to leave us empty. He purges us so that he can empower us. And this is where it all comes together. So that he can empower us. And that brings us to the third point, power. So the first is what? Press. The second is what? Purge. And the third is power. Someone say power. Now I'm saying it too. I need to verify the source too. I'm putting out this disclaimer out there. I'm not doing anything funny. I just heard someone say it. Okay, power. Consecration prepares you for fresh authority. Consecration prepares you for fresh authority. It prepares you for fresh authority. In Luke 4:14, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened before this? Jesus was fasting. He was tempted. He was being purged. They were asking him, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Hunger was being exposed in him. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, jump from this arrogance, ego was being exposed in him. He says, you will not put your God, not your God to test. Then bow, I will give you this kingdom of heaven. What? The pride of life was being exposed. And he says, no, you only bow. So after all that, after all the pressing he did in the fasting and the purging that he had to engage during the wilderness, then came what? The power. After the pressing and the purging comes the power. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. By the time this fast is over, you will be filled with the power of the Spirit. You return into your daily lives with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. It did not come out empty. You will not come out empty. In the mighty name of Jesus. It came out empowered. You will come out empowered. In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, Acts 13, 2 and 3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I mean, this is one amazing passage of scripture. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, the church was worshiping, the church, the atmosphere was charged, and the Holy Spirit spoke. Fasting sharpens hearing. Fasting increases sensitivity. Fasting prepares people to be sent. So we see that the fast is not the destination. The fast was the doorway to what God wants to do. The fast was just the doorway for what God wants to do. So consecration is actually preparation for power. It's preparation for power. The reason you will dominate your industry is because you will return in the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. The reason you will dominate your industry is because you will return in the power of the Spirit. So powerful. I heard some businessmen speak, and one of them talked about how he needs to fast before a big encounter in business. And guess what? He was not even a Christian. He said he needs to deprive himself of food and pleasures and girls. You know, for him, after the fast, he goes back though. But he says that he needs to deprive himself of food, pleasure, girls, and all those things. Then, you know, when he wants big deals to come through. But we know better. Praise the name of the Lord. God empties the flesh so he can feel the spirit. And you need to understand that it is not hunger strike. It's a spiritual encounter. You don't come out of fasting weaker. It is impossible. You come out stronger, cleaner, clearer, commissioned, empowered. Your life will be filled with power in the name of Jesus. You know, physics tells us, or defines power as what? Energy is the what? Is what? Is the ability to do work. Ability to do work. Ability to get work done. So what power looks like? What does power look like? What does power look like? Power looks like. What does it look like? Number one, clearer discernment. Clearer discernment. What does power look like? Power. What does it look like? When you come out of the fast, number two, you have a stronger resistance to temptation. The things that used to tempt you and you're shaking, you just walk past, means nothing to you. You come out a stronger resistance to temptation. I think someone had a devotion has said that, you know, how did she put it? About what ladies are chasing these days. Ladies are chasing men. You know, some ladies, when they see a fine boy, begin to shake. But guess what? You walk by a fine boy, it means nothing to you anymore. You don't know that it's a prayer point. Now, you may be past that. Don't look down on those that are not on your level. You may be like, oh, Pastor, what does that mean? I mean, that means nothing to me. I'm so spiritual. Praise God. And the other way is also true, you know. Some men, you cannot see a fine girl, you'd be shaking. When you come out of this fast, the fine girl means nothing to you. Amen. Now, again, if you cannot relate, don't look down on those that can relate. Don't say, oh, doesn't mean anything to me. I'm so strong. I'm a strong man. Girls, even if they're in bikini, means nothing. Thank God for you. What does power look like? Deeper prayer life. That's what it looks like. What does power look like? Renewed hunger for the word of God. Renewed hunger for the word of God. What does power look like? Courage to obey. You just find out that you have the courage to obey God. What does power look like? Boldness to talk about Jesus. Boldness to witness. Boldness to invite someone to church. Boldness to invite someone to Christ. What does power look like? The strength to forgive. You know, some people say that, oh, this thing that you've done, that is the end. What does power look like? Strength to forgive. What does power look like? Freedom from old patterns. And we can go on and on and on. You know, but sometimes if we are not able to connect this dot, we just think power is just something out there that we cannot relate to, that we cannot touch, that we should have. You know, this is what power looks like on a daily. So as we wrap things up and recap, we press, we purge, and then we are empowered. Press, purge, power. Press. Don't coast through fasting. Don't just make it a habitual thing that you need to get over and done with. Purge. Let the fast finish something in you. Let it finish something in you. Then power, consecration, prepares you for the fresh authority, for the fresh anointing. So we press deeper, we purge fully, and we walk in power. Everyone say, press deeper. Everyone say, purge fully. Everyone say, walk in power. We press deeper, we purge fully, and we walk in power. Fasting is not just something you finish. Fasting is something that God uses to finish something in you. It's something that God uses to finish something in you. So we don't come out saying, I made it. We come out saying, God did it. God changed me. God has done it again. God will do it again. Don't just break the fast. Let the fast break something in you. Let the fast break something in you. Okay, so let us bow our hearts. As we bow our heads. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you.
Sing that song from the bottom of our hearts, from the depths of our beings. As we sing it, let's just turn it into like a true prayer. Mahali bashiande debo sodi kali bashiande
kete. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after.
God is interested in doing something amazing in our lives this season. The right hand of God is positioned to move in our lives. But I want to speak to someone that is here today. Only you. You know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus at the moment. You know that you are not saved. You know that you are not born again. You are the one that we are speaking to at this point. And we want to help you to realign yourself with God. Today is your day of salvation. We want you to just raise up your hand. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to call Jesus to come into your life. You want heaven to begin to hear your voice. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. Just raise it up. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want him to come into your life. Just raise it up wherever you are. If you are online, the instructions are scrolling right now. If you are raising it up, raise it above your head so that we'll be seeing it. We're not going to ask you to come out. We just want to put a card in your hand and pray along with you. So I'm asking once again, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Just raise up your hand. Just raise it above your head, wherever you are. And see how God will begin to move, how things will begin to change in your life.
To you alone, may my spirit.
Everlasting Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your word that we have heard. Thank you for what your word is doing, even at the moment in our lives. Thank you for your right hand, which is causing a stirring in our souls. We are so grateful, oh God. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that all that we have heard today, Lord, we'll be able to put it to use in our lives. We will be better Christians, better believers for it in the name of Jesus. This season, oh my Father, that you are visiting us, none of us will miss out on you in the name of Jesus. The fullness of your plan concerning every one of us will be manifested in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Everlasting Father. Thank you for our pastor, Apostle Femi Monei. Thank you for you continually using him as you do. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.